You know, God sends across your path now and then a godly man whose life challenges you. I experienced that as a young Christian. Not very frequently. Once in a while, I think of two or three people who came across my path who were really godly. And I saw something in them. I mean, I don't know how they preached and all, but I saw something in their life that really challenged me, something of the beauty of Christ. And I said, Lord, I want that. I've never in my life have I wanted to preach like somebody. Maybe when I was a young Christian, I was immature and I attempted foolish things, but that's not been my goal. But I've seen some people live a godly life. And I said, Lord, I want to live like that. Have you? And I believe that God allowed such people to come across my path to challenge me, to show me that it was possible. These guys are not telling lies. They're not hypocrites. They're genuine. It's possible. And that hope gets stirred in my heart. I too can walk like that. And God will send across your path now and then a really godly man, one here and one there, and you will see. Okay, you're disappointed with so many Christians. Okay, fine. Just like God told Satan, okay, all these fellows are hypocrites and crooks. But have you seen Job? He's different. That was one man. And like that, God may send across your path now and then a man who you know is genuine. He's not exactly like Jesus, but boy, you see a possibility in you. As you see his life, that can happen in your life too. That's what challenged me. And the Holy Spirit shows us how Jesus lived on this earth. Tempted exactly like me. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that he was made like his brothers in everything. Just like the devil would like to hide from your eyes that God is your Father. The next thing the devil wants to hide from your eyes is that Jesus was a man like you. I mean, even though it's written plainly in Scripture, people won't believe it. Hebrews 2:17. He had to be made like his brothers in all things. In spite of a statement like that, some people say he was made like Adam. There's not a single verse that says he was made like Adam. He was made like his brothers. And somebody asked Jesus, who are your brothers? He said, these who hear my word and do it. Those are my brothers, he said. So we know who the brothers of Jesus are. On the day of his resurrection, he told Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers. Who were they? Those disciples. They were not perfect. But he said to Mary Magdalene, go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to your Father and my Father. That's you and me, born again children of God. We're not perfect. But he was made like his brothers in everything, so that he can become a merciful and faithful high priest. You see, the Jews had to have one among them who could be their high priest, not somebody who came from Mars or Mercury or somewhere, someone who was right part of their race. And he is made like us. And because this one was made like us, was verse 18, was tempted. He had to suffer in that temptation. Suffer means what? He had to deny himself. Denying oneself is a suffering. He denied himself and suffered because he knows what it is to deny himself and suffer and overcome. He's able to run to help those who are tempted today. And again in chapter 4, verse 15, he's one who can sympathize with our struggle in temptation. You know how you can sympathize with someone who's facing something that you've already faced. Supposing you lost an only child. Supposing you had only one child. And that child was a darling of your heart. And one day got sick. And you prayed and prayed and it died. And yet you overcame it. By the grace of God. You found comfort in God. And years later you meet another mother whose only child died. You can sympathize with her. I can't. But you can. Because you've gone through that experience. And here it says we got a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness. What weakness? The weakness of our flesh in the time of temptation. He knows it. Don't you feel weak when you're tempted? I feel terribly weak when I'm tempted. But he knows it, because he was weak too. It's good to know that. The Holy Spirit shows you one who can sympathize with your struggle and your weakness in the time of temptation. You're not alone. What a comfort that mother who's lost an only child can put her arms around this other mother who's lost the child and says, I know exactly what you're feeling. I've gone through it myself. She can comfort her more than I can. Even if she's a new convert, because she's gone through it herself. And if that's what he says, that Jesus can sympathize with my struggle when I'm facing some terrible temptation and I'm struggling and struggling. He can sympathize with it because he faced it himself. He faced the struggle. He had to battle. It says in chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, how did he overcome this temptation? He prayed with loud crying and tears. He prayed that this spiritual death might not touch him. Oh, Father, save me from the spiritual death that can come to me if I yield to this temptation. That's why he would sometimes go into the wilderness and pray. And I remember understanding that and is saying, now I know, in the early days when I was seeking for victory, I know why I cannot conquer sin. That desperate crying is not there. I want to follow Jesus, but I don't want to cry so desperately, even though I'm a slave. I want you to turn to Exodus in chapter 2. We see an example of a few people who were slaves. Slaves in Egypt, just like we are slaves of sin. The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. And you've been a slave of sin for many years, even though you're a believer, even though you come to CFC. There are some sins that keep plaguing you. And you've heard the messages, you know the theory, but it doesn't seem to work. In your case, it seems to have worked in some other people, it doesn't work in me. This message is for you. It came about, Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. In the middle of that verse, the sons of Israel sighed. What's a sigh? Oh God. We've been slaves so long. Can hardly pray. Oh God. When are you going to help us? Because of their bondage. They were not asking for wealth. They were not asking for a new car or a new house or anything like these foolish Christians are asking today. They were sighing because of their bondage. Oh God. We're slaves. Every day we feel the whip of sin saying, obey me. Obey me. Get angry. Lust. Be jealous. Fight. Be proud. Exalt yourself. Be hard. Be cruel. I hear the whip, Lord. And I'm fed up. I don't want to be a slave. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. God heard their groaning. And I want to ask those of you who are praying to God for victory, do you believe God hears your groaning? And God remembered his covenant with that case, Abraham. He's made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ, through his blood. And God saw. And God took notice. The very next verse, he sent Moses. That's a beautiful passage of how God can lead us. You know that Jesus prayed with loud crying and tears. I've done that at night, not with a loud mouth. I've discovered you can cry in your heart without any sound coming out of your mouth. Yeah, I've discovered that. You can have a loud cry in your heart without anybody around you hearing a sound. And the tears come out of your eyes and wet your pillow as you pray. I find one of the best times to pray is when you're in bed. The world is asleep. And there you are alone with God. Everybody in your room, house is asleep. and you're awake and you're praying, God, I slipped up again today. I want to walk like Jesus. I want to act like Jesus towards every person I meet. And I didn't react like that to the person who put petrol into my scooter and spilled some of it on my clothes. I didn't react in the proper way there. I didn't react the way Jesus would have reacted if that happened. Lord, forgive me. And I cry, Lord, when will I be free from this? When will I, in every situation, react the way Jesus reacted? I hope there'll be a cry in your heart before the end of this conference. It'll make you another person. Think of that verse. They sighed, they cried. And we read that Jesus prayed with loud crying and tears. And it says in Hebrews in chapter 5 that he was heard because of his godly fear. That's why he was heard. It doesn't say he was heard because he's the Son of God. Because of his godly fear. That means there was a terrific fear. Oh, lest I sin and hurt my Father.